Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
Is by the help of the Holy Spirit, who I know He is here and He is our helper, I'm believing that we will raise our expectations. And when I say that, I mean we need to have greater expectations of God in us and through us. And we should expect to be blessed by God. If you're with me, say, I believe that. Today at sundown happens to be the most holy Jewish day of the year, Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. It was on this day under the Old Covenant law that the high priest would go into the temple, through the holy place, and then into the Holy of Holies and offer the blood sacrifice for the sins of God's people for that year. Now, throughout the Old Covenant, there were other sacrifices that were made, lots, through the year, but this was the key sacrifice for sin on that one day, Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. I was happy to find out that it was today. I'd already decided to preach about this and to serve communion, but it just fits wonderfully. The high priest would, as he would go into the Holy of Holies, I brought a picture for you so you could see the Ark of the Covenant or something like that. That would have been the Ark. And he would take the blood and sprinkle it between the wings on the mercy seat right there of the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 9, verse 12, and I didn't put this up on my PowerPoint, but it says in Hebrews 9, 12, you could look it up later, that when Jesus died on the cross, He entered into the holiest of holies in heaven itself and offered His blood for sins once and for all. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, it has one of those words that I bet a lot of us have just read over and thought, whatever that means. But it says, and He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. This word propitiation literally means mercy seat. And so it's drawing from that Old Testament image of the Ark of the Covenant and the high priest putting the blood that one day of the year on the Day of Atonement on the mercy seat, sprinkling the blood there. For you and I, for everyone who receives Jesus Christ, He is He actually is the mercy seat for the whole world. That's what the Bible says. It's for the sins of the whole world. Now, the whole world needs to respond, but have not yet, but they can. The offer is there. Salvation, forgiveness, cleansing, a changed life because of Jesus and His offering for our sins in His own blood once and for all. And so I have titled the message this morning, A Better Covenant. It's better. I want you to tell yourself it's better. Now, I understand that using the word better can be a little risky because we are promised stuff all the time that's better, aren't we? Advertisers promise, we're promised a better razor. You know, that it's like they stack these blades in there so much, it's like you got to have almost a forklift to pull them up, you know. It's a 49 razor blade, you know, a better razor, a better dish soap, Dawn, a better dog food, better toilet paper. Moving on. Because better is overused, the word, the meaning can be diluted. But listen, and I pray God help us to grasp this. It's very simple but very profound. When the Bible talks about us having a better covenant, it really means better. In fact, it says it's far better. Hebrews 8 and verse 6, but now Jesus, our high priest, has given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood, for he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God based on better promises. Better covenant, better promises. Now, if you haven't been in church much in your life and you're not familiar with Bible words like covenant, you're not alone. When I first got saved, I had to learn everything. It was embarrassing how little I knew, but we learn and we grow. So this word covenant and our covenant with God is God's agreement between him and his people. The old covenant was God's agreement between himself and his people, and it was based on the law or the Ten Commandments and other rules that God gave. So when the Bible talks about the law, the commandments, statutes, testimonies, all of these words that are used, the commandments, it's talking about the old covenant. So now, the old covenant wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. It was good. Romans chapter 7, verse 12, Paul's writing, and he says, therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. And so the old covenant wasn't bad. It was good. And it was packed full of blessings. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 and 2, it says, and now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. If you later read through Deuteronomy 28, verses 3 through 14, it lists tons of blessings. He says they would be blessed in the city, blessed in the country, blessed going in, blessed coming out, blessed with healthy babies, blessed with healthy crops, good cows, good sheep, good goats. They'd be blessed by their enemies coming in one way and running away seven ways, and their pantry or their storehouse would be blessed. Everything they put their hand to would be blessed. That's pretty blessed, isn't it? They would be blessed by being God's own special people. And so the old covenant was good. People could be blessed up one side and down the other. So the old covenant was good, but it was conditional. And it was conditional on everyone behaving. Now, that's a problem. Because people don't behave. In fact, people behave badly, don't they? So the old covenant was good, but people were bad. Their behavior was bad. And if you didn't behave, you got cursed. The old covenant was really packed full of curses. There were 12 verses that listed the blessings. If you look in Deuteronomy 28, there were 54 verses listing the curses. Somebody say, yikes. There are things like sickness and famine and being captives in a far-off land and a whole lot more. So here's the deal. The old covenant was good, but people weren't. And the reason God gave the law under the Ten Commandments was to prove the point that we were sinners and needed a Savior. In Romans 3:19, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and that all the world may become guilty before God. The Old Testament law was given to shut us up in the sense that, you know, people say, well, you know, I'm a pretty good person. I'm not as bad as that guy. And I'm pretty good, but see, those commandments, the law, the Ten Commandments, and all the other laws, what it did is it showed us no one could pull it off. No one could live up to it. And it stopped the mouths of those. What it did is it pronounced us all guilty. But God had a plan all the time. In fact, from before the foundation of the world, the Bible says he had a plan. And it was a better plan. The old covenant, there was a plan in it, and the plan was to show that we are guilty and that we needed a Savior. But it was pointing towards something better, and better was Jesus. And we can and should expect to be blessed by God. We need to have our expectations raised. Jesus came to give us a better covenant. The new covenant, now I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm saying today and hear what I'm saying and don't hear what I'm not saying. I say that for a reason. You'll get it in a moment. Hear what I'm saying. The new covenant is far better because the blessing isn't dependent on our being good. In the old covenant, if you were good, you're blessed. In the new, we're blessed because Jesus was good. He was good for us. Romans 10 and verse 4 is such an important verse. It says, "For Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in him are made right with God." Isn't that awesome? When Jesus died on the cross, he cried out, "It is finished." All that needed to be done for us was finished or complete. And so we are not blessed because we are good, but because he is. Now, this is the part where I'm saying, hear what I'm saying and don't hear what I'm not saying. I am not saying we don't have to be good. Doesn't matter what you do. Have a blast while you last, you know. Party time, party. Wayne's World. I know I've said that, but that was all in jest. See, that's the thing about recordings. This is all recorded. And somebody could take that little section out and say, look at what he said. So I want you to hear what I am saying. I am saying we should be good. God help us under the new covenant. And this is another sermon really for another time. But we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to live for God, and the stuff that we couldn't, there's a whole bunch of stuff that I did before I got saved that I was totally at its power, under its control and influence. I was under the influence a lot of junk and behavior. And you know what? Can I tell you something? Jesus set me free. Jesus set me free. He sets us free. He gives us the ability to conquer addictions and habits and bad behaviors and all that. And so he helps us to be good. It doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect. Anybody who knows me already knows that I'm not perfect, but I am better. And I am God's working in our life. And so I say all that, again, to point out something. If we are waiting for our good behavior to bring in the blessing of God, we are never going to see it. Our expectations are on our behavior to be blessed. And if our expectations are on our behavior to be blessed, we're going to miss out on a whole lot of blessing. Because Jesus came, died on the cross. He fulfilled the law, the old covenant. And so therefore we are blessed because of his goodness. Every good thing that comes to us is because of Jesus. Now, while I was preparing this message, an Old Testament word came to my mind, and it was this word. It's going to seem weird to you. Selah. Selah. Selah was used in the Psalms, and it was used as a break in the psalm. In other words, it literally meant, to, after some was written or sung in the psalm, to pause, literally meant pause, and think about it. And so that word, Selah, came to my mind, and I thought, you know what, this would be a good time for us to pause and think about why we're blessed. It is not because we prayed enough. It's not because we read our Bible enough. It's not because we helped little old ladies across the street. It's not because we didn't honk our horn at the guy that cut us off on Stockton Hill Road and scream and yell and all that. And instead, we said, God bless him. Help him. Oh, Lord, pour out your... It's not because of our good behavior. We are blessed because of how good Jesus is and was for us. Every blessing that comes to us is because of his goodness. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Somebody say, every spiritual blessing. In the heavenly places in Christ. The new covenant is better because there's no more curse. Listen, this is so important. The old covenant, if you're good, you're blessed. If you're not, you're cursed. We needed help. We needed a Savior. Jesus is better because he removed the curse. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Today, I want to declare to us, we're blessed and not cursed. We can and should expect to be blessed. Our expectations need to be lifted higher. We should live with an expectation in our lives, a blessing. We are blessed to be forgiven. We are blessed to be healed. We are blessed to be provided for. We are blessed up one side and down the other. Now, I say all that to say this, there are believers, some believers, too many believers. And I have been one of them at times in the past. And I'm, by the grace of God, correcting this. But go through life feeling like or almost thinking like they're cursed. You know, it's things like, yeah, that's just my luck. God help us. As believers in Jesus, we're not living by luck. Well, aren't you lucky? I'm not lucky. I'm blessed. We're blessed. And so we can think about life and just, oh my gosh, you know, the world that we're living in is so... It's bad, and it's getting worse. And you know, the world. I understand we do live in weird, weird times. I shake my head sometimes. I know lots of you shake your head, and we live in. But the world's always been weird. Back in the early church times, it was really weird. There was all the immorality type stuff on even higher scales, if you can believe it, than it is today. Immorality and brutality and all that. And so it was bad. And so you and I need to look around at the world that we're living in, and even though it's bad, we are living in a time of blessing. So even though stuff is going on, even if banks fail, even if, you know, God comes through for his people, even in the old covenant, God came through for his people at times, providing for them in times of famine and stuff like that. We have a better covenant, better promises. We can listen. We can afford to lift our expectations and not be in fear because of the days that you and I are living in. Sickness and disease, I want to just let you know this morning, and most of you know this, but look, sickness and disease, anything that comes on our bodies, it isn't from God. It's not from God. Jesus paid too great a price through the beating he took and the stripes he bore for us to believe that he's going to put some kind of sickness on us. Isaiah 53, verse 5 says, listen, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. He paid too great a price for our healing. And so why would he ever put sickness on us? Now, I want you to tell yourself, he wouldn't. He wouldn't. Now, I understand there are doctrines and I think some of these are well-meaning people and preachers, well-meaning preachers. I'm not saying they're wicked, evil, horrible people. I think some of them are well-meaning. I think they are teaching out of what they understand. It's just that they don't understand this truth, and that truth is that Jesus bore our sickness and infirmities, and God isn't going to put something, sickness, on us to teach us something. He is, our Father is not an abusive dad. We're blessed and not cursed. And I've recently begun to realize something about my, in my preaching and during times of communion, I always talk about healing and his body being broken for our bodies. You know, it was split open. The stripes he bore were for a healing. And I will always preach about healing, but I am convinced I need to share more and preach more about God's health. I mean, before sickness comes, God's health. And so if we're dealing with a sickness or something in our body, we shouldn't be condemned. There are some things in my body I'm right now believing God for healing in. And so we shouldn't feel condemned, but we should contend until we see the evidence of that healing in our body. But even beyond that, you and I should believe for health. Under the old covenant, there were promises that were given for health. And if the new is better, how much more should you and I, should we raise our expectations for good health? 3 John 2 says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers. The new covenant is better. Tell yourself it's better. And it's better because Jesus broke the curse. We can and should expect to be blessed by God. Last thing I want to talk about, just for a few minutes, is the new is better because it brings us a better hope. A better hope. Hebrews 7, verse 19 says, for the law made nothing perfect or complete. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. Under the old covenant, there was little expectation, little hope of people drawing near to the presence of God and experiencing his presence through their lives on a daily basis. It really was reserved for the high priest on this day of atonement when he went behind the veil of the temple into the Holy of Holies. But listen, when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says the veil of the temple was ripped from the top to the bottom. And if you do some study on that, that veil, they say, was about a hand width wide. It was God ripping that temple. It was an earthquake, but I mean, it was like the invisible hands of God opening up the Holy of Holies, the place where His manifest presence is. Jesus, when He died on the cross, opened up the way so that, and the Bible says here in Hebrews 9:17 again, through which we draw near to God. It's a better covenant because now we can expect to be near God and blessed. Amen. Blessed. Yeah. This is what hope is. Better hope. A better expectation of good from God. Raising our expectations. Jesus gave us a better hope so that you and I can expect to live with blessing coming our way in our life. Instead of looking for the next okie doke or whoop or wow, flat tire, just my luck. That kind of expectation in life, we should look to God for blessing, believe for His blessing. I'm not saying that all of our life is just going to be whoop, you know, zippity doo dah day every day. You know, there are some days that bluebird seems to have died. But anyway, there are some rough times and there are some difficulties that we experience. But in the midst of anything we face is the presence of the nearness of God. And that nearness of God means that those things will not overwhelm us or need not overwhelm us. They will not overcome us. They will not defeat us because God is near. And His nearness means we can expect Him to get us through or get us out of it. I had a real quick story, and then we're going to pray and receive communion. I told them I was going to preach 20 minutes, and I didn't preach longer than that. When I was living in Nakuru, Kenya, there was a guy in our church named Gibson, and he grew vegetables and sold them in the market to provide for his family. He came to me and came to the church and said he just was suffering, his family was suffering. Nobody was buying his vegetables, and so they were in desperate need. And so we as a church, I laid hands on him, prayed blessing on him. We as a church prayed over Gibson. You know, the next day he went to the market with his vegetables, and he sold out. And he continued to sell his vegetables in the market. You know why? You know what changed his expectation of what was going to happen? Because of the blessing of God. Amen. And I want to encourage us to expect something far greater than possibly what we have been expecting. Amen. Expect to be blessed. This is what communion is. If Jason could come and the ushers who are going to pass out the communion cups could make themselves ready, or actually go ahead and come and stand up here in the front. I'm going to pray first of all, and before we do receive communion, pass it out and all, I want to give opportunity to those who have never asked Christ into your life. And so let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you've never given your life to Christ, or maybe it was some time ago, you were a kid or something, and you've been away from God, I just want to pray God's forgiveness and believe God with you. This is going to be the first time for some of you, and after we pray this prayer, the only requirement to receive communion is that we are saved. We've asked Christ into our lives, so would you all just pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I receive you into my life. I receive your forgiveness and all your blessing. Thank you for forgiving me today, for blessing me today. In Jesus' name. Amen. They're going to go ahead and begin to pass out the cups. And if you'll see, there's a cup and a cup. So make sure you get both of them. The lower one has the bread, the top one has the juice. God help us today. God help me. God help us to raise expectations, to expect to be blessed. We are blessed. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, it's talking about communion, and it says the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? So this cup is called a cup of blessing. Isn't that awesome? So what we're doing here with communion is we are remembering what Jesus did so long ago, almost like 2,000 years ago, so that we could have expectation today. So it is about remembrance. It's remembering the sacrifice he made way back then, but then it brings it into our now so that we can receive a cup of blessing. So we are in expectation of blessing from God, physically, our needs being met, the peace of God, the hope of God in our heart and lives. Now, I want you to tell yourself, I'm living. I want you to preach this. I'm living under the blessing of God because of Jesus. Has everyone been served? If you didn't get a cup, if you could make yourself known, uplifted hands so we can make sure everybody's served that wants to be. Praise God. The bread that we hold is symbolic of the body of Jesus that was broken. When they whipped him, he bore stripes. And Isaiah, we read the verse earlier, by whose stripes we were healed. Any of us here this morning that needs a physical touch of God as we receive the bread, we need to dare to believe healing to flow in Jesus' name. He paid, and I hope you understood what I was saying earlier. I understand that there are Christians that deal with some physical issues at times, don't feel condemned, but dare to have your expectations lifted to him for healing because he paid the price for our healing. And so we're going to pray together and receive the bread, symbolic of his body that was broken for us, stripes that he bore for us for healing. Let's just bow our heads and pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for submitting yourself to the hands of those that beat you and whipped you and caused stripes to mar your entire body. The brutal beating that you bore for us. Thank you, Lord. And today, as we hold this bread, we speak life and healing into every infirmed or sick body or body that is in pain, whatever the symptom is. If there be tumors or they've received a bad or troubling doctor's report, God, for your healing virtue flowing. And Lord, help us to live with an expectation of your health in our lives. We thank you for who you are, for the better covenant, better promises, promise of healing and health in your name, the name of Jesus. Jesus took the bread, he broke it, said, take, eat, this is my body, which was broken for you. He took the cup, and I love what 1 Corinthians 10:16 calls it, the cup of blessing. So we're looking back. This is symbolic of his blood that was shed back then, but it is symbolic of what we are to do now, and that is to live with an expectation of blessing. His blood was shed so we can expect blessing. I want you to look at that cup, and it's not, you know, mystical qualities in this juice. It's the cheap brand from Safeway, to be honest with you, but But what this represents is awesome and powerful. It represents the shed blood of Jesus for all of our sins, all of our sins, and so that you and I can live with the expectation of blessing because he paid the price for us. Isn't that wonderful? It seems too good to be true, but it's true. It's true. And so let's just pray over the cup and receive together after we pray. Jesus, we are not forgetful of the price you paid, of the blood you shed for our sins. Thank you that by that we can draw near to God. We are never alone. We are always in your presence. You are always with us. You never leave us, never forsake us. And today you are here with us, reminding us that our sins have been cleansed. We are forgiven. We live under the blessing of God. And though the world goes crazy around us, we live with an anticipation of your provision in the midst of the craziness, of your peace in the midst of a world that is so fearful and afraid, your peace settling in over our lives and mounting guard. We thank you for this cup of blessing, the remembrance of your blood shed for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood." Let's receive together. Now, what I want to do is I just want to pray over us. Just before you leave, when you leave, if you take those cups with you, we got the second service going to be coming in a moment. And I think there'll be a garbage can back by those back doors if you take those cups and toss them. But let me just pray over us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Thank you for bringing us into a new covenant, a better covenant, for better promises. And Lord, we lift our expectations. I pray that the seed of your word planted in our hearts on good soil today, and it springs forth, Lord, that let it bring forth 100-fold, 100 times, Lord, causing us to trust you for blessing, causing your peace to rest in our lives, your joy being our portion. We thank you. We praise you for it. We receive it. Better covenant, better promises in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. God love you. Don't forget, 5 o'clock tonight, the movie, Jesus Revolution. Wednesday night, if you've never been out to a Wednesday night Bible study, come Wednesday night. I'll be teaching 6:30 on best friends. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.